So today we're beginning a new series called Family-ish. And over the course of this next month, we're going to be looking at the family. Now, some of you, you think of different things when I say the word family. Different words or thoughts come to your mind, feelings. Before we get to those, I want to just kind of start us off thinking about families. And I don't know if you've ever seen the website, Awkward Family Photos. You ever seen that website? I've got a couple awesome real-life pictures of families I want to show you as we begin, as we focus on families. This is a true family portrait. Now, some of you are thinking, what's wrong with that? Well, just look at the picture. Unless you're actually in the room and that's you on the screen, feel free to laugh if you want to. Here's another family portrait. I don't know who got the pose down and the hand in the back pocket, but if you have any ideas for your next family photo, feel free to take this one. And another family photo, this is taken, looks like right at the moment that the horse began to buck when they were going to just kind of take this picture, and this is what the family photo turned out to be. So a true family photo. And then I want to show you my family photo, this next shot. This is a picture of my family, my wife Becky, my beautiful wife, smart, intelligent, bright wife Becky, and my son Isaac, who's 7, and my daughter Isabel, who's 5. And so this is just, again, a picture of our family. This is one of the best ones I could find. The most of them are awkward, and I'll just save you that laughter for a later time. And then this past week, I was on vacation this last Sunday, and this is actually a picture of my wife's family. I married into this. And this literally is her siblings. She's 1 of 7, and then their kids and her mom and dad. So all of us, this isn't even everybody, all of us went camping last week at Allegheny National Forest, just a couple hours south of Salamanca, kind of Erie, PA, south of that. And we went camping and had a blast, but I'm glad to be home. It was good. I need a rest from vacation, if you know what I'm talking about. But it's good to be back. We had a great time down in Pennsylvania camping together. But that gives you a glimpse of my family, just one side of my family. And when I say family, what comes to your mind? Some of you, you think about the wonderful, warm feelings of family. You think about your siblings. You think about your parents, your grandparents, your children, your cousins, nieces, nephews, uncles, you name it. You just get this warm, encouraging feeling when I say family. Others of you, when I talk about family, some of you feel anxiety right away. Not saying that every family is perfect, don't get me wrong, but some of you are in a stage of life where maybe you're seeking that potential mate or spouse in the future. And so you just feel anxiety for that moment, not wanting to miss Mr. Perfect or Mrs. Right, which, by the way, there is no perfect person out there, just to save you some trouble. But at the same time, some of you, when you think about family, maybe you feel pain. Maybe you feel this sense of brokenness, that maybe someone in your life wronged you, that was a family member, or someone wasn't there or stepped out of the story. Or maybe for some of you, you think of just incredible joy as you think about the idea that you have been adopted into the family of God. That as you put your faith and trust in Jesus, that you become a child of God, the Bible tells us. That we are adopted. That language of adoption is Jesus' language. It's God's language. He designed adoption. And he wants to adopt all of us into his family. And so I guess I could say across the board, no matter where we are in this room, each one of us has a different perspective or view of family. And so over the course of this series, we're going to talk about family because in the culture we live in, it could be a slippery slope. Not every family looks the same. People say, this is what it looks like. This is how you should live. This is how it operates. 2.6 kids and a dog or whatever that looks like, right? Like that's what our culture says. But for each one of us, we need traction. What does God have to say about the family? That's what this series is going to be about. And so we're going to look at some concrete spiritual truths of what the family looks like and how we are to interact within that family as it relates to the different roles and responsibilities that God has established. Because did you know the family is God's original small group? That's what he designed. He designed for us to be in relationship with one another and relationship with him. The family is God's original small group. He set it up. And he wants to use you in your family. And I'm not saying it's perfect. I'm not saying that there isn't hurt, there isn't pain, there isn't joy, there isn't encouragement. But that's why we're doing this family series, and that's why we're calling it Family-ish, because not every family looks the same. And we're going to talk about that. And hopefully some of you who've been hurt, you'll find healing through this series. And some of you who are enjoying the benefits of a family, maybe a family that's not maybe not as big as mine, like there's tension in that. But there's also growth opportunities in that too. So we're going to look at God's word together and find some of these profound truths over the next 4 or 5 weeks together. But as I think about my family, one word comes to mind that I want to talk about that's going to kind of lead our time together today. And the word is this: influence. Influence. When I think about my family, when you think about your family, do you think about influence? Influence simply is this: leadership. Influence and leadership are synonymous. That they have affected you, hopefully in more positive ways than negative ways. But you have been influenced by your family. And when I look at my kids, and the first thing I see in my son, in my daughter, is me. I don't know if you've ever experienced that before. But I begin to see traits in me, in them that I see that are really me, that I've influenced into them. Now, they have their own personality, their own gift sets, and their own passions. But a lot of times I'm like, oh, my goodness, I know where you got that. That's me. That's my influence on your life. And then I begin to think back to when I was a kid. And I think, just like my 5-year-old or my 7-year-old, I begin to think, man, what was I like from my mom and dad? Was I that way? Or what did I gain? What influence did they pass on to me that helped mold and shape me that I'm seeing in them? And I don't know about you parents who've out there, maybe you've been a parent for a long time. Maybe you parent someone else's kids for them in a way. But when you're parenting, do you ever have that thought where you say something, or maybe you're disciplining or guiding or leading, and then you say something, you're like, oh my goodness, that was my mom and dad that just came out in me. You ever have an experience like that? Like, that's the influence in our families. So we're going to talk about influence. And it's crazy because marketers, television marketers, understand the power of influence in our parents and our own lives. In fact, maybe you've seen this commercial on television recently. Check this out.
We bought a house in a neighborhood with a lot of other young couples. Then we noticed something strange. Oh, could you make me a burger?
Poof, you're a burger.
Everyone acts like their parents.
You have a tattoo.
Yes.
Fine. Do you not work?
So what kind of mower you got, Seth?
I don't know. I have some kid comes over, we pay him to do it.
But it's not all bad. Someone even showed us how we can save money by bundling home and auto with Progressive.
Progressive can't protect you from becoming your parents. But
this message is not brought to you by Progressive. I just want to let you know. But the idea, we act like our parents. The point is, our parents have had significant influence on who we are. If they've been directly involved in every aspect of our life growing up, or if they've been removed. There is influence there, both positive and negative. And likewise, just like for me, it's probably been the same case for you. So today I want to look at influence, and I want to talk about how we are to, number one, how we're to respond to the influence that's been extended to us, and then how are we to then extend our influence in a way that honors God into our families. What does that look like? So it's going to be a very practical series. Some of you might say, I've heard that before. But can I encourage you to lean in moments like this? Because it's one thing to know. It's another thing to do what you know. All right? So let's look at this together. Let's look at, number one, how are we to respond to influence in our families? Number one, let's look at what Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3 say. Paul writes this. He says, children, obey your parents. This is a good one, parents. If you want to highlight in your Bible, this is a good one. And then show your kids, teach them this. So children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. For this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you. And you will have a long life on the earth. Did you know that? If you honor your father and mother, I remember my great-grandma. She would tell me, growing up, and she died at the age of 103. She would tell me, growing up, Kevin, you want to have a long life? Honor, obey your mother and father. This is a command with a promise. Now, it's a premise promise, and that Does that mean that everybody all the time? No, but the premise is there's something about listening to people who care about you that'll guide you and give you insight and wisdom to be able to make wise choices, to know how to live out life and have longevity in your life. Amazing promise. Maybe you never realized that before, but there's something about this truth in Scripture. So how are you to respond to influence? Number one is this: children, obey your parents. Obey your parents. Doesn't matter if you're 55, your parents are still alive. Or it doesn't matter if you're 2. Obey your parents. Now, some of you are thinking, Kevin, now this message, this is for the kids in the children's ministry. Why are you telling us this, right? Like, but hold on, stick with me. Don't tune out. Because this truth, this passage in Scripture, it still has profound implications for everybody, no matter where you are in your life, no matter if you're retired. Obeying your parents. We'll come back to that in just a second. See, Paul here is quoting the fifth commandment of the Ten Commandments, that's given to us in the Old Testament. And notice he says, this is the first commandment with a promise. Not only are we told to obey our parents, but if we do, our life will not just have longer life, but our life will go well for us. It'll go well for us. And some of you are thinking, okay, wait a second, Kevin, I've obeyed my parents. My life has not gone well. I've had difficulty. I've had hardship. So again, what are you talking about, this truth? If I obey, my life will go well for me? Well, think about it for a minute. Your life today is far better off than it would be if you would have rebelled against your parents. Right? Because your parents, like my parents, they've set up these guidelines, these boundaries, these rules, these regulations to protect us, to guide us, to lead us. Are they perfect? No. But they've helped guide us and lead us like guardrails to know where to head in the right direction. If we would have rebelled and just kind of done our own thing, our life would not nearly be as good as it is today. It's not saying that your life's going to be perfect without any difficulty or hardship. But man, when you obey your parents, when you honor your parents, there's something about the word honor. We don't really talk about that in our culture today. When you do that, God notices that. And we acquire, when we obey our parents, this wisdom and this discernment, and we that improve the quality of our life overall. That's just how God has worked. He wants us to obey our parents, because here's something that's very true. How we submit to authority, even the authority of our parents, is a direct reflection of how we submit to the authority of God. There's a comparison there. How we submit to the authority of the parents God has put over us is a direct reflection of how we submit to the authority of God himself, our heavenly Father. See, because the reality is all of us are children. If you are a follower of Christ, you are a child of God. We are called to submit to our heavenly Father, and how we submit to our earthly Father is a parallel, a relationship, a connection. It shows how well we submit overall to authority in our life. And as we submit to our parents and their authority, man, their leadership, their wisdom, even in their earthly humanness, which is not perfect, man, it has helped us approach everyday circumstances in a better way, to know what it means to be successful, how to be, what it means to fail well, what it means to manage tensions within relationships, and what it means to, you know, resolve conflict in just life. And so your life is far better off than it was if you were to rebel by obeying your parents. And some of you are thinking, okay, Kevin, I hear what you're saying about being a child of God, but come on, that's kind of far-fetched. I have to obey my parents or obey my heavenly Father. But look at what John tells us, or what Jesus says in John 14, 23. Jesus replied to his disciples. He said, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Like I talk to my kids all the time, I say, I know that you love me when you obey me. Like, that's the evidence of your love, that you care about me, that you listen, that you respect, that you honor me. And so this is a tangible relationship, a parallel between our Heavenly Father. So the question I want to ask you is this: how well do you obey your Heavenly Father as a child of his? Not just knowing, but then doing. It's one thing to know, but living it out, living it day to day. And as flawed as our earthly parents are, God will still use them and their leadership to guide us and lead us. And he wants to show his amazing grace and love for us, our Heavenly Father, through them. Because that's who he is. He's a good, good father. That's how he works. And God wants to have us pour out our hearts to him as we even sang this morning, and to give our love and adoration to him. And as a result, he will influence us by the power of his Spirit to become more like him, to love like him, to honor everyone in our lives, to serve everyone in our lives like he does us through his son Jesus. So with that, let's move on to the next aspect of influence. Let's focus on not just the influence we receive, but the influence that we are called to extend in the family. Maybe you've heard us use the phrase around here that one of our goals is that we want everyone to become disciples who are helping make disciples who make disciples. Now, a disciple is someone who follows Christ, that as we become a follower of Christ, we actually follow his lead as we're walking on a journey with him. And so the invitation is not just to do that by ourselves, but then to have someone else that we're walking with as we follow Jesus together. And this is God's plan. He wants to use us. He wants to use his people, this family, the family of God, to have people experience God's love, know his son, and then see his kingdom come in this place. We are plan A. There is no plan B. That God chooses us, his family, to do so. And so as we look through the lens of children this morning and the lens of being God's children, a part of his family, this brings us to our second point. It's this. Parents, you are to disciple your children. You're to disciple your children. Listen to Jesus' words before he ascended into heaven after his resurrection in Matthew 28. It says this. Jesus says, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, because of my authority, I give you authority, and I say, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this. Don't forget, I am with you always, not sometimes, but always, even to the end of the age. And so, it's clear that Jesus' instructions here to all of us, his children, are to go and make disciples, other people who are followers of him, so that they can go make disciples who are followers of him. That's why we're here today, because the first disciples did this through generations, which is an interesting thought. What if someone didn't do that for us? Where would we be today? God has positioned you and me for this time to do that, to continue that trend, that pattern on, this plan that God has set up from the very beginning. And he commands all of us to do this, not just pastors or people who are professional, who have gone through seminary or, no, all of us. In fact, he used disciples who were ordinary, uneducated men to transform the world. And many people believe the disciples in that day were probably teenagers themselves. Not people who are 30 or 40. I heard that your greatest influence is when you're between the ages of 40 and 60. But Jesus chose to use even what the world would say is, you know what, even the outcasts, those who were kind of, tax collectors and sinners and not perfect people. God specializes in using imperfect people to bring about his plan. Now, this is the process that God has done from the very beginning, and he continues to choose to use this plan through you and through me to see his kingdom grow exponentially. That's how he works. That's what he wants to do, so that others may come to faith in Jesus, and then they themselves can lead others and pass it on themselves. Now, I realize this can be very scary to think about, discipling your kids. What does that look like? I don't feel equipped and prepared to do that, but in the midst of that tension, it should be our highest priority to disciple those closest to us, those that we care about the most, our family. It could be your own children. It could be nieces, nephews. It could be cousins. You name it. But God has placed us in these inner circles for us to influence, to point them to him. And it doesn't mean we have to know everything. It means that we're available to respond when God calls us to. And so fathers and mothers who have a faith or aunts and uncles who have a faith in Christ, your highest priority is to disciple those closest to you in your family. That's one of the ways God wants to use your family to impact the world as they impact others as well. Listen to what Paul speaks about in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. He says this, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way that you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord." Now, this points back to what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 28, right? He's saying, bring them up in the discipline and instruction that comes, what it means to be a follower of Jesus, a direct commandment that Paul is even teaching the church in Ephesus and teaching the church overall. Now, just to clarify, I want you to know, kind of a side note, that we often think about discipline. When we hear discipline, we think punishment. But that's not true. Discipline actually means to train yourself or to teach yourself or others. Punishment is maybe a part of that, but discipline is not always a negative thing. Discipline is to walk with, to train, to prepare, equip yourself or someone else so that they can go along in their journey to progress, to move. I wish there wasn't pain and punishment sometimes in discipline, but it's needed sometimes. But our Heavenly Father disciplines us, the scripture says. He teaches us. He guides us. And so we need to be doing the same as he shows us. We need to show those in our family, those closest to us as well. Now, here's the thing. Most people, when they think about discipling their kids or their family, they assume that that's the responsibility of the church. They think, well, I'll leave it to the professionals. I'll leave it to the people that do that. Like a teacher teaches education, I'll leave the spiritual aspect, the nourishment that my family needs to the children's ministry, to the student ministry, because they're far more in touch with my family, my kids, and the culture they live in than me. But can I tell you that that's not true? Can I tell you that we as a church, we have about 1 hour, maybe 2 hours a week to be able to walk with and teach your kids stories about Jesus, stories about faith in the Bible. You exponentially have so many more hours and so much more influence on your own children or your extended family than the church ever will, than any of us will. And here's why I know that. Because more is caught than taught. And growing up as a kid, I didn't have to learn certain things. I saw my mom and dad do things, and I learned from that. I caught my mom and dad reading scripture in the morning, and I noticed that. But that's a priority, not just something that they told me. And the same way for us as a church, we want to come alongside and partner with you as parents, but we don't have the greatest influence. You as the parents have the greatest influence. Grandparents, you have great influence as well to impact your family spiritually. That you are the primary influencer of your family's faith, more than the church can. Now, that doesn't mean we don't want to be a part of it. We have resources and tools. We want to walk with you. We want to make sure that you have what you need to grow in your own faith so that you can then pass on your faith, your influence, to your extended family. And we think about this. We want to work with you. Now, you might be thinking, Kevin, what does this look like? How does that work? Well, let me give you four words that we've talked about in the past that will help you as a tool and a resource, even as you leave today, to be intentional about how to disciple your kids, your family. And can I tell you, I'm seeing kids even disciple their parents because they're the ones saying, what if we're just intentional with these little things? Consistency over time, rather than doing once in a while, consistency over time adds up to great results. And here's the four words. Take these, write these down. The words are this. You've probably heard them before. They're read, pray, serve, and play. We call these the faith fundamentals. The faith at home fundamentals. These are things that my wife and I are trying to constantly do with each other and with our kids, with our cousins, with our nieces and nephews, you name it. And what this means is simply this. Read. That we should regularly be reading God's word with our family. I'm not saying you read the entire book together every single night, but I'm saying is there one spiritual truth, a nugget, a verse of the day even, that you can just begin discussing, that hearing it out loud, can I tell you, I don't think we hear scripture enough. Even Becky reading this morning out of Psalms, just hearing that passage of Scripture, it refocuses who I am, reminding me of who God is, his goodness. Just hearing the declaration of the word, something powerful happens. What if we were intentional about just reading Scripture? My 7-year-old son, he just got a new Action Bible, which basically is like not a comic strip Bible, but kind of the illustrated version. I'll tell you what, as I began to read that with him, he sees the images of what Scripture's talking about. He loves reading the Old Testament. And we've been just having like this game, this quiz back and forth of like, hey, what king, la la la, etc. He understands. He turned right to his Bible. I'll let him use his Bible to be able to turn there and find out. He goes, Dad, that's from 2 Samuel. I'm like, you're right. I didn't even realize that. So the engagement in Scripture together is huge. So as you do that together, that your influence will pass that on to them so that they will want to do that when you are not necessarily there every day of their life, when they're off at college or the next phase of life. Reading Scripture together. More is caught than taught. Secondly, we should be praying with and for our children as family together. It could be the simplest prayer. My daughter, who's 5, we again, because we're very visual as a people, my wife had this prayer, almost like this Rolodex type of thing. We had to explain what a Rolodex is to my daughter, but kind of this 3x5 cards on a roll, and there'd be just pictures of people for certain days. And she would go through and just see a face and pray for that person that day. Different people from our family each day of the week. My daughter now is seeing my wife do that and is saying, can we do that? Can I do that? Can I add pictures to this? And she's catching already what it means to pray with someone and to pray for someone at 5. It's not too late for you. That this is what God is calling us to do as a family. That the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And as a family, we can extend our influence into our own kids. Doesn't matter how old they are. It could be over the phone if they're a distance. It could be through technology. But to be intentional about praying with and for them so that they will do it on their own and do it and influence that to other people and their family and their friends beyond that. So read together, pray together, to regularly serve together. I don't know if you've ever served in any capacity, whether it's been just something even locally or on a project. There's something about us that we are made to serve. Jesus said, if you want to be great, serve. So as a family, what if we served together in little tangible ways? Just our neighbors, each other, doing things that you wouldn't normally do. And it takes discipline, right? But it's not always punishment. It's training. It's teaching. This is the way of Jesus. What if we did this together so that they want to serve later on? That when you're not there every moment of the day, directing them, it's a part of what it looks like to influence them. And then one that I think is overrated, or not overrated, is often overlooked and missed, is playing together. That in a society where we have technology and very easy to be in our phones, and I admit, it's very easy to be not in the same room with the people that you're with. God wants us to be interacting, to play together, to be unified together, whether that's board games, which my family, we protect our Sabbath. My day off is Friday, so for me, my kids are learning what it means to Sabbath well. We get cheese, we get pepperoni, we get good music and board games, and we just hang out. And I don't answer my phone on my day off. And my kids understand this is our day. This is our play day. We have a family day. And it's easy to fill those things, but we have wanted to set it up so they understand what rest is. And they'll even use the language, Dad, today's Sabbath. I can't wait for Sabbath. This is what we were made for, right? This is what Jesus wants us to do. This is what God modeled at the very beginning for us to do, because this is a part of the rhythm of life. So we're called to play together and to rest together well. These are some of the things, those 4 words, how we as a church want to come alongside you and say, hey, how are you doing together? How are you reading, praying, serving, and playing together? We have things we can even plug you into or resources to give you to do those things well. But you as the parent or grandparent are the primary influencer of your family's faith. And some of you are thinking, okay, Kevin, I don't have kids. So how does this work for me? Or my kids are not even close to me. With technology today, it doesn't matter. And with families today, that's why we call this family-ish. Who are the people that are family, that are like family to you? that God has placed in your life, that some of you have friends that are closer than your own family, that God's saying, that's your family. Like everybody, Jesus even said, no, these people are all my family. So what does that look like for you to be intentional about the influence that you have to pass our faith? We are all commanded to go and make disciples, to disciple people, walk with them in the ways of Jesus. And that really just means showing your story. Walk it, show them, this is what God has taught me. This is what this person taught me. Come with me. Let me show you what it looks like to follow him together. And so as you think about that and you think about the stress and the tension, it's easy to be like, well, I'm not perfect. And my parents and your parents, they're not perfect. How am I going to disciple people? Are you kidding me? We can easily identify that we don't have perfect influence. But can I tell you, even though we don't feel worthy enough in him, in Jesus, we are enough. Like we sang, in him, he will give us what we need in each encounter, the wisdom to know how to navigate and walk. I don't know how to parent perfectly, but I'm trusting that God's going to give me what I need to show my kids what they need. Doesn't matter in your relationships too. God's going to give you what you need because in Jesus, you have enough. You are enough. He wants to use you by the power of his Spirit to lead others to follow him as well. And so really when you think about discipleship and you think about making disciples who make disciples, it's really about obedience. It's about us saying, are we going to do what Jesus said? Not, am I qualified enough? Am I good enough? It's about us being prayerful and mindful to say, God, I'm available today. Who do you have around me? In my family, and maybe people that aren't necessarily family, they're family-ish, that you've put in my life that you want me to walk with and encourage. That's it. And then responding in obedience to that. As we close, I want to just wrap up with this thought. I want to go back to the passage we talked about, obeying and honoring your mother and your father. Did you know that that is the fifth commandment, like I talked about? And it's actually the fifth in the Ten Commandments. You've heard me say this before, but the first four commandments, they teach us how to be in relationship with God. The last six teach us how to be in relationship with one another. God is all about relationships. It's not like just rules and regulations because he just wants to make them up. It's like, no, because he values relationships. And so as you look at that tenth commandment, or the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother, it is the hinge commandment. It's the one that connects the two. Honoring your heavenly father by how you live your life so that you can then honor your earthly mother and father. To know how to love and disciple your own kids. They're all connected together in that way. And Jesus is that hinge. We are to take our cue from our heavenly father to know how to love our relationships around us, our earthly father, mother, family members. If we talk about the greatest influence in our life, you are the greatest influence for your kids. Jesus is the greatest influence for all of us. In fact, look at what Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 5. He says this, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Jesus, the example of Christ. He loved us, and he offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. So no matter what stage of life, no matter what your family dynamic looks like, no matter how you feel when I say the word family, we all have an opportunity to be influenced by the greatest influencer of all time, Jesus. And then that hinge commandment, to know how to live in relationship with God, to then know how to live in relationship with one another, because Jesus himself is the hinge. And we don't have to parent, we don't have to be grandparents or relatives of people and live out of fear. Like, how do I do this? No, we can look to a source, the influencer, to know how to influence. We have the greatest example of a parent's love. We have the greatest example of wisdom that a parent could ever offer us. We have the greatest example of the greatest demonstration of love ever given by our Heavenly Father. We know what it looks like. We can pursue that. And at the same time, as Paul says, that we can imitate God. I see my kids imitate me. And sometimes it's not pretty. But we can imitate our Heavenly Father in everything we do. as we follow Jesus' example. You want to see the Father? Look at the Son. He is a direct representation. He is one and the same, the Trinity. But he shows us with skin on what the Father looks like, what it means to love God and love one another through the power of the Holy Spirit as we surrender our will to God. He will give us the ability to imitate God and live and love our families and our relationships here on earth well. I'm going to invite the band to come back up, and I want to just pray as we wrap up our time together. Before I pray, if you just close your eyes, bow your head for a second, I want to ask you two questions as we begin this series. First off, the first one is this. What are you doing with the influence that God has given to you? What are you doing with that? Do you realize the influence that God has given to you? And then secondly, that very influence that God has given to you, who are you influencing in your life? Who is that person or persons? And how does God want you to respond to today's message? Maybe it's reading, praying, serving, or playing. Having these rhythms, I find that the time that is best for me with my family is right before bed. And we slow down and I kind of process with them what happened throughout the day. And then I lean into the one example, my Heavenly Father, and try to imitate him in those moments. Every day of my life, every moment of my life, but then pass that influence on specifically before my kids go to bed. When their hearts are soft, when I can process with them, and I can point them to him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are our Heavenly Father, that you are a good, good Father. And I thank you for the family design that you created, the original small group. And I pray, God, that as we are connected together as a part of your family, that we're all your kids who put our faith and trust in you, that you would use our family to better our families. Maybe someone today here would say, I don't have any kids, but God, maybe they would say, I would choose to step into and be a part of helping come alongside parents and being that influencer, maybe here on the weekends with our children, our student ministry, to better us as a family, or to be intentional about reading, praying, serving, or playing with our own families, protecting that time, making sure that we know the priority and the influence we have, because more is caught than taught. So I thank you for who you are. Thank you for your promises to us. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you continue to stand and worship with us?